Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:10 p.m. the Pacific Summer Time. Today is August 24th. Well, let's take a look at the S&P 500. It's up almost 1% today, but the clear outperformers are the kinds of companies that really suffered during the lockdowns, whereas the beneficiaries from the lockdowns are among the worst performers. So we have, for example, the cruise lines, the airlines, they were all up in the region of about 10%. Even Gap, for example, up 7.5%. General Motors up about 6%. Even Boeing up about 6%. Whereas on the other side, we had some of the biotech companies that were down in the region of about 2-3%. Regeneron, for example, down 1.75%, has been among the darlings of people looking for a solution to the COVID-19 outbreak. So if we take a look at the chart, it's a clear break to new highs. We do have a mild overextension, but relative to the trend mean, but this still looks like really quite an impressive move, and it's very orderly. We have a series of ranges, one above another. The ranges are getting progressively smaller. We still have the succession of higher reaction lows, and it's a clear breakout. And there is obviously there has been this very steep decline, very steep advance. It's a clear V-shaped recovery for the stock market. Quite whether we have a V-shaped recovery for the wider market is an entirely different question. But it does raise the question, however, about some of the very overextended trends that we have on the NASDAQ, because the NASDAQ was in positive territory today, but not quite finishing on the highs of the day. Then when we think about some of the really big cap companies like Apple, well, then it did pop on the upside right off the open in here today and gave up most of the advance. Tesla is sitting on a downside key reversal, but this isn't the first one of those we've seen. In fact, the key reversals haven't really done anything except signal a period of underperformance, and it has a history of pausing around round numbers. Found support at 500, paused around 1,000, paused around 1,500 again, and now again at 2,000. So this is not the kind of action that is going to shake the resolve of the bulls. When we then think about Netflix, well, that's an entirely different story. It has peaked about 6 weeks ago. We have a succession of lower rally highs. Now it's coming back into the region of the succession of higher reaction lows, so it's decision time here for a company like Netflix. But it is unwinding its overextension relative to the trend mean. So, and it wasn't as overextended as some of the other trends like Apple or Tesla, for example. So all of these have got room in which to consolidate, but they do look prone to some consolidation. They did spectacularly well when people were worried about the potential that people were going to be locked in indefinitely. Well, it's looking increasingly likely that we are not going to be locked in indefinitely. It does begin to raise questions about the sustainability of all the debt, because when there is a clear crisis, then there's going to be a coordinated attempt to flood the market with liquidity. But of course, then the questions are, with economic recovery, is there the potential for an inflationary shock? This is by far the most relevant consideration for any investor today, because we haven't had an inflation shock in quite some time. And it's really quite a substantial possibility. There is the potential for wage inflation. That's certainly not a consensus view right now, but you can't simply give people money for nothing and expect them to accept the determination to just turn off the spigot. That's not the kind of thing that's going to be conducive to a harmonious society. It does suggest that we're going to have wage inflation. And then there's the potential that with the kinds of natural disasters that are going on in China and the potential for two substantial storms to hit at the same time in the Gulf Coast over the next few days, gasoline prices popped on the upside in here today. not least in response to the potential that the Texas-Louisiana border is going to get hit twice, and that is a very significant area for gasoline refining. Natural gas prices are also continuing to rebound, and this was another break on the upside. It has clearly now broken the downtrend. This is a very long-term range. It's bouncing from the lower side. There's the potential that it's going to move back up towards the upper side of the range as well. And the upper side of the range is probably around between $4 and $6. At least it hasn't been able to sustain moves above that area for years now. Then when we think about the US dollar, it has rebounded. It broke down last week and then it rebounded, and it's now coming back to test the sequence of lower rally highs. If it can sustain a move above 94, well, then that will also signal a period of potentially mean reversion. But the bigger point here is that the stock market and gold have all been doing well as the dollar declined. So if the dollar is rallying, will that put some additional pressure on other risk assets? That's, I think, one of the other big questions. Gold prices were in negative territory today. This continues to look like a corrective phase overall. We had the acceleration up to the peak 2 weeks ago. This looks like a consolidation. It's now starting to unwind the overextension relative to the trend mean in a more swift manner. But it's really not at all beyond the bounds possibility that we get some additional consolidation here in the region of the previous peaks and the very clear overextension. But the big picture, of course, is that despite the fact that we have this very clear overextension relative to the trend mean on both gold and silver, they are rallying for different reasons. They're related reasons, but different reasons than, for example, the NASDAQ or the FANG shares. When you've got a zero interest rate, then it upsets valuations. It's obviously a tailwind for growth because there's no discount rate. So they can source abundant liquidity for free and deploy it in high-risk strategies. If those risks come off, they make a ton of money. And if they do not come off, well, as long as the low interest rate environment persists, then they can always get more money to try something else or to extend the life of the enterprise. So that's obviously clearly beneficial for growth, but it's enormously interest rate sensitive. Then when we think about gold, well, part of the reason why gold would rally is because of the interest rate sensitivity. Because the only way that interest rates are going to rise is if there is inflation or if investors are less willing to buy bonds because they're worried about the devaluation of currencies. Well, those are significant factors. Now, of course, if interest rates do rise, then that would be beneficial for the currency. So that could contribute to some additional consolidation overall. But when you have a completed base formation, then that's a signal that we're in a new bull market. And there is the clear potential that with inflationary pressures, the devaluation of currencies will become a very real topic. We'll get back into a much more pronounced discussion of financial repression. This was exactly the same kind of condition that we had back in the early 2000s. It was a real fear among investors that we were entering a period of financial repression because of the aftermath of the NASDAQ bust. This ability of gold and growth and technology shares to rally together is a new phenomenon. And it's, I think, the common factor is the very low interest rate environment. It is worth reminding ourselves that the period when gold shares really did start to take off was between about 2002 and up to 2007. And during that period of time, 10-year yields were in fact rising and rose by approximately 200 basis points. You can see, for example, that between about 2002, they were around 3.5% and got up to approximately 5 1/3. So not quite 200 basis points, but really quite close. So that was also a period when people were starting to worry about inflation. Now, of course, the difference today is that the debt mountain is much larger, but also that we have technological innovation, which is a deflationary factor, and we have this incredible economic contraction as well on top of that. So those are significant factors. But the clear trend, of course, would need to be broken. And there's been a very clear sequence of lower rally highs on 10-year treasuries since the failed break above 3% back at the end of 2018. It, at a very minimum, would need to sustain a move above the trend mean. The trend mean right now is around 1.1%. So it could still rally meaningfully and still fail at the 1% level. It needs to do substantially more than we've already seen. But one thing that I think is particularly relevant is just how inert the 10-year treasury is right now. One of the biggest fears back in March was that we were going to have negative interest rates. And so far, that has not occurred in the USA. When we look at the yield curve, then everything is still in positive territory. There was a news story in the Wall Street Journal today talking about a number of money market funds that are forgoing their fees in order to continue to provide a positive interest rate. So that's an example of how this low interest rate environment is a significant headwind for the financial sector overall, because they generally depend on a steep yield curve. But the banking sector was in positive territory today. There is, I think, the rising potential that investors are willing to give the benefit of the doubt to an economic recovery. And that's what we're starting to see now in terms of the performance, not just of the S&P 500, but the Russell 2000 was also in positive territory today. It's bouncing from the region of the peak from back in June. But the most important thing is that back in July, it was able to sustain a move above the trend mean. So that's really quite encouraging. And the transportation index has also been able to push back above the trend mean. It is right in the region of the highs for pretty much all of 2019. So this is, I think, rather impressive. And it's also, I think, worth reminding ourselves that transportation was underperforming from the beginning of 2018. It was really very sensitive to quantitative tightening and to the trade war. So now that it is breaking, or potentially on the cusp of breaking on the upside, we have to conclude that there is a solid argument for economic revival. And then, of course, that is going to put pressure on some of the more overextended trends that had really relied heavily on the continuing lockdown mode for the global economy. So it's looking increasingly likely that the rotation that was looking to get started a few weeks ago is now starting to gather steam. When we then think about lumber prices, well, the USA lost a WTO disagreement with Canada in here today, and lumber had been limit up. It finished limit down. This is a downside key reversal. It probably signals a peak of at least near-term, potentially medium-term significance. Downside follow-through tomorrow would certainly confirm the signal. Then oil prices have been rather quiet, but were in positive territory and rebounding from the lows put in on Friday. I think the most likely scenario is we are going to have continued higher to lateral ranging. Then when we look internationally, the majority of stock markets were in positive territory today. The Trump administration is fast-forwarding the production of solutions like vaccines. They've just permissioned a plasma solution, which is basically transferring antibody-laden blood from survivors of the coronavirus to victims or to new patients. So that's another positive. Even though we saw news today, for example, that Hong Kong had its first case of an additional of somebody being infected twice. The second infection, however, was much less severe than the first, and it was from an additional strain of the disease. So that holds out the prospect that once somebody has recovered, that they will not be as badly infected the second time around. These kinds of news stories do tend to make headlines. They're not sufficiently bad enough to really change the narrative, but they are worrying enough to damage sentiment. And that suggests that we will stay in a liquidity-rich environment. As long as we're in a liquidity-rich environment, there's ample potential for additional upside. Then when, and more importantly, there's less likely to be an aggressive pattern of raising interest rates. Now, the LME Metals Index was pausing in the region of 3,000 on Friday. Now, the most important thing, however, is that it has broken its downtrend. And this does suggest we're back in a demand-dominated environment. I think it is more likely than not that the clear potential is we're going to have a significant infrastructure boom. For countries like India, then they absolutely need the infrastructure. Of course, they're also worried about inflation, and the bond yield there is creeping higher. And it is now up to approximately 6% and testing the region of the trend mean. The Indian stock market was in positive territory today as well. Then we have the potential in China for infrastructure development on the back of rebuilding from what are the biggest floods in about 50 years. The Shenzhen or the CSI 300 was in positive territory today as well. Continues to consolidate below the 4,800, but so far this does continue to look like a bullish consolidation overall. Then in Japan, Prime Minister Abe is in hospital or has been in hospital and is having tests done. I think investors are probably holding their breath to see if he's going to remain in office, but the stock market was in positive territory as well in here today. The big question, I think, as well for Japan is the willingness of the Bank of Japan to continue to defend that 104 area and or at least to come in and supply additional yen every time it comes or strengthens enough to test it. And the yen was in negative territory in here today. The Australian market is also now pausing and continuing to pause in the region of the trend mean. The Euro Stoxx index has an extremely similar pattern, and this is a pattern that we see in a large number of other markets where we've had a substantial contraction and then a big rebound. Now the big question for a lot of these markets is, are they going to see substantial breaks back above their respective trend means? The performance on Wall Street does help to bolster the view that we are going to see a rebound on international markets, and most particularly if we continue to see good news coming through in terms of the potential for cures and treatments for the coronavirus. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.